A little boy was asked, "What's the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day?" And the little boy said, "Oh, it's so much better. You don't have to give kisses and flowers on Father's Day." There's a difference, isn't there? You know, folks, being my first, I guess, experience as being a pastor, I was privileged to be able to bring a Mother's Day message on Mother's Day. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for all of you who are mothers that are here today and the influences you've had. But today we're here to recognize fathers. It's Father's Day. And as we go through this message, I want to recognize the importance that the role that the father plays in the family, in our society, amongst ourselves, what a privilege it is. Many of the aspects that Brother Terry referenced in his prayer. But folks, we can never lose sight of the fact that God is our Heavenly Father. So this message needs to glorify Him as well. And I hope and pray that I have some passages to do that. And I'm going to ask that you pray for me as we go through this message this morning. You know, the Bible, I think, validates that we need to have a Father's Day recognition. Because all throughout the Bible, especially through Jesus, through His ministry, He talks about our Heavenly Father. Now, we just brought tithes and offerings. We are here today. We have prayers in our hearts. So for just a moment, I want you to think about in the Lord's Prayer, when His disciples came to Him, they asked Him, teaching us how to pray. And He said, I'm going to skip over most of the verses, but starting in verse 8, "Therefore do not be like them." And He's talking about hypocrites. That's what He called them, who said that they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows these things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, you pray." So if you think for just a moment, Jesus has already recognized your Father. Did you get that? Individually, your Father. He knows our needs. As we come before Him and worship today, He knows we need His help to worship Him properly. So continue to pray for that. And then He says this, "Therefore pray in this manner, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." You see, folks, it is our Father and He is in heaven, our Heavenly Father. Never let a day go by that you don't think of that and understand that. No matter where you are on this earth, our Heavenly Father, it is He who knew us before we were born and created us. And hallowed is His name. Hallowed means it's set apart. It is incomparable. He is holy. And we need to approach Him and recognize His name with reverence. And He is our Heavenly Father, creator and ruler of all. But folks, this statement, the reason I'm starting with this is because it shows the relationship. God instituted the family. He created the family unit. He instituted marriage. It was the very first marriage between a man and a woman. And then the family, the mother and the father. He blessed it and He ordained it. And the Bible goes on to say that. And so I want to share some quotes with you that validate the family concept. And the blessings it is that comes through having children. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father." Right here we see grandparents. And I'll testify to that now. Having grandchildren, what a blessing. It says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father." You see, it's that relationship. It's that blessing that God has given. And as we focus in on fathers, we need to be thankful for all these blessings that come to us. But on children. And folks, this applies to each and every one of us because all of us had a dad. We all had a father. And this is given in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:12. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This is the first command with promise. And how sad it is that we don't honor our parents the way we should anymore. You know, there's none of us here that doesn't have, I don't think, memories of our father. Now, I did this on Mother's Day, and I'm going to ask it today. If you are so blessed to have your father with you or your grandfather with you, please acknowledge him now. Give him a hug, shake his hand, turn and say thank you. I love you now. Not all of us are so blessed to have him with us. But we have those blessed, cherished memories, don't we? Honor your mother and your father. Now, society doesn't always do that. Matter of fact, a lot of comedies and things and different shows, they seem to diminish the role of the father. So, since I'm bringing the message, I could pick and choose from a lot of different quotes. So I didn't have to go down that road. I do have a few quotes from society, and there were a lot of funny ones that I could have chosen from. But folks, this is serious. So a few quotes just I pulled from people that you probably know, and you may recognize some of these quotes, certainly identify them. And I like this first quote a lot. It's one of the few things I grab hold to. The older I get, the smarter my father seems to get. I hope that one day somebody will think that about me. I'm not so sure. That was from Tim Russert. But I certainly see a lot of wisdom in that quote. I think back sometimes about my dad, not always understanding some of the things he did. But the older I get, the more clarity I have. The smarter he seems to get, the older I get. Mark Twain said the following, "Good fathers not only tell us how to live, they show us." You see, there's a big difference there. We're going to examples now, aren't we? They show us. We all have memories that we can think about. Examples that, if not our dads, what other people we hold in high esteem as godly men, the examples they gave us. I look around this congregation and I see godly men, and I'm thankful for the examples that you have given. The Bible validates this concept. And folks, we're going to go a little bit deeper with this. It's important. It's important as dads, earthly fathers, to recognize the example that we set. Listen to what Jesus said, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." You see, even Jesus is showing here, following the example of our Heavenly Father. And that's incumbent upon us as earthly fathers, to follow the example of a Heavenly Father. And how do we do that? We do that by reading God's Word and believing and understanding what His Word tells us. You see, we as men are tasked. God created the family unit this way. The man, the head of the household, is the provider, the protector, and is supposed to be the spiritual leader. As Brother Terry prayed, sadly, there are too many families where that goes lacking. Sadly, there are too many men that go to the golf course and tell the wife and the kids, "Have fun at church while I'm out here." The spiritual leadership seems to be missing. That's not the example that the Lord gave to us, and we need to follow His example. Now, folks, I want you to think about this for just a moment. And all you girls, I'm talking to you. And all you men, I'm more focused on you. Because this is quite a daunting task. I want you to let it sink in. As you think about the dad and earthly father you are, a daughter needs a dad to be the standard against which she will judge all men. That's a pretty big burden to bear, men. So what kind of example are we giving to our daughters? Do they see that? How can we ever live up to that unless we are following the Lord in all His commands, if we are the spiritual leader? How can we be the loving dad that we're supposed to be? especially to the daughters that need that. But see, folks, of all the qualities that a man is supposed to possess as a dad, as a father, of all the characteristics that they have, the strength, the what should be the fearlessness to defend their family, the possessiveness to care for our families, the drive to go out and work and do whatever is needed to support our families. All those characteristics, the greatest characteristics of all that we need to be showing to our children, again, is what we find from our Heavenly Father. And I'm going to summarize that in the following quote. Happens to come from a country song that's getting a little older now, but how true it is. And this is the way we should be dads. Daddies just don't love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. The love for our children never stops. That's what being a good dad is all about. The Bible tells us that. We can validate that quote from God's Word. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." You're talking about the love of God. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What a heavenly Father. He gives us all that we need on a daily basis. He gives us salvation through His own Son, Jesus Christ. His love never fails, folks. What better example can a dad try to emulate than that of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God, our Heavenly Father, of being a loving, compassionate person? Now, folks, these are some quotes and Bible passages to try to, I guess, just from a different perspective, saturate our minds to get us ready for the main text. What type of an example are we giving? If you just think about those various quotes, if you think about the passages we just read, as dads, what standard are we trying to live up to? Who are we emulating in our life, the way we walk on a daily basis? Who is our example? Society would pull us in a lot of different directions. Society doesn't even want to recognize differences between men and women anymore. How sad that is. If we're going to, as men, fulfill the role that the Lord has placed upon our shoulders, we can't be tossed to and fro, as the Bible says, by every whim and every doctrine. We need to be very resolute, very firm, and cling to God's Word, because His words are the words of life. His words are where we find the example of how to be the proper earthly father that we should be. Now, folks, we're going to turn to our main text. It's found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If not, it's on the PowerPoint. Now, I am going to go through this a little bit faster. But folks, I want us to recognize something. I want to read the first two verses from the Gospel of Luke chapter 15 and then just make a comment. "Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Him to hear Him." So, I want you to understand, these were what were considered the lower class people, the sinners, the unwanted people, those who weren't pious and righteous. You see, you had the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, the leaders of the Jewish society, and mingled in the society there in Israel. You remember, they were under Roman occupation, but they had pagans and they had other Jewish people that just didn't live up to following the standard. And they were looked down upon. They were condescending on. And these are the people. "The sinners drew near to hear Him," this being Jesus, "to speak. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" So here we have the Pharisees and the scribes complaining and pointing out to the disciples who were following Jesus, "What's wrong with your master? He's eating with these undesirable people, these sinners, these that aren't worthy. They don't keep the law. Why is he defiling himself? That's the stage where we find these parables. And Jesus knew this, what was being spoken. So now we're going to continue reading. So he spoke this parable to them. And Jesus, as you know, folks, taught in parables. And we're going to read three parables, and they are given in succession for a reason. They all go together. And the first one is should be a sermon to itself, and oftentimes is. But today we're going to go through it a little bit quicker. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And I say to you likewise that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And folks, I want you to recognize this first parable and the one that follows is mostly directed to these Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes. Of course, it applies to all of us. But as we just contemplate that one parable, just think about yourself in something I said earlier. Because Jesus said, "Your heavenly Father." But he doesn't stop there. See, the next parable follows in succession. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So, folks, I'd like to preach these separately, but today we're going to go on. But I just want to comment. Wherever you are in your life, or you remember a time in your life where you may have been, but we can make it present. Whenever we wander away, whenever we feel like life has swept us under the rug and left us behind, and we're forgotten, I want you to remember that his eye is on the sparrow, and he watches over me and you. And folks, there is nowhere we may be that the Lord is not aware. And the Lord will do whatever is necessary for his children. We cannot be separated from the love of God. These two first parables were really designed for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish people. You see, even they wandered away. Even they sinned too. But they were considered righteous. The first parable deals with 100. Talking about maybe the Jewish nation and a sheep that wandered away. They could relate to that. The next parable talks about something so valuable, but you see, it's just brought down to 10. Making it a little more focused. But even doesn't matter how valuable the one person is. Again, the Jews would have associated and related to this because they thought that they were so valuable as God's people. And they were. But they weren't what they thought they were. What type of example were they given? Folks, no matter where we are in our lives, sometimes we position ourselves in ways that we shouldn't. The Lord will do whatever is needed, be it searching for us. Sometimes other methods are used, but he will do what's needed to bring us back in the fold, so to speak. And sometimes that includes dealing with us harshly. We read this in our responsive reading, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." You know, sometimes you can think back to being young. How many times did your dad have to discipline you? I was a slow learner, so that's a polite way of saying I've had quite a bit. But it's done because He loves us. Sometimes the hard times in our life comes because we're just not listening. We're not listening. You see, folks, the sheep wandered away. Sheep wander aimlessly. Sometimes they don't know what they're doing. The coin was just plain lost, a mistake. But our next parable is different. And this one really applied, well, it was presented to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. But folks, it really applies to all of us, to the Gentiles. So let's continue reading. Luke 15:11 through 32. Then He said to them, and folks, this should have hit home. Well, all of us, but especially us dads. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Now, folks, for just a moment, just for clarification, here we have this young son, the younger of two children, of a wealthy landowner. And he approaches his father, and he says, give to me my inheritance. Now, under Jewish law, because the responsibility is placed on the family in the continuance of each generation, the older son had more responsibility. So he was given a double portion of the inheritance. So this younger of the two sons, in this case, would have received a third. The older son would receive two-thirds, the younger son a third. So you think about the wealth that the man may have had. I believe it was a considerable amount. So he gives to this young man. The young man's asking to give him a third of his inheritance. So the man did. The dad did, I should say. If you put yourself in that context, we don't know what age this young man was. He's probably a late teenager. He was impatient. Probably wanted to be free of parental restraints. Well, we see one thing. He was only thinking about himself. He wanted his inheritance, and he wanted it then. Sometimes, you know, our eyes aren't fully open when we're young. It takes a lot of life experiences for them to open. Did he even stop to consider how he made his dad feel, asking for that? So let's continue. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. In other words, everything his dad had given him. And journeyed to a far country. And there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Folks, prodigal living. There's lots of euphemisms for that. It was wasteful. It was gluttonous. It was extravagant. Extremely excessive. You might say he was sowing his wild oats. He engaged in sinful, prohibited behaviors. He was in a far country. I suppose he felt like he could go off to this far country and the news wouldn't come back to his parents. I don't know. Jesus doesn't give in this parable. But that's what's happened. Again, how did the dad feel? You don't know. But that's what happened to the young man. He went and he took all his possessions with him. And then in verse 14, but when he had spent all, see folks, he blew through all his inheritance. Talk about the height of irresponsibility. He went through every bit of it. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now folks, we need to stop here. And we need to understand. He blew all his inheritance in sowing his wild oats, you might say. And folks, this wasn't just a short period of time. Because here Jesus says that there arose a severe famine. A famine doesn't come in just a week or 2 weeks. Famine takes a little while to develop. So I believe that he was in this country for, let's just say a year. Whatever it was, it wasn't a couple of weeks. It was a while. He blew all his inheritance. He probably didn't remember, or he certainly didn't regard what he had been taught to save for a rainy day. He blew everything he had. Now he's in want. And so he joined himself to a citizen of that country. Again, that country, it's not a Jewish country. It's a pagan. It's a Gentile place wherever he went. And this man sent him in the fields to feed swine. We need to think for just a moment. Here this young man was, and Jesus has given this parable to the Pharisees and Sadducees and those around him. He was Jewish. This young man was Jewish. To be tasked to go and feed swine was as insulting and degrading as it could be. There would have been nothing lower that he could have done because the pigs were considered unclean. And yet that's what his job now was. That's the pit he had dug for himself. That's where he was. And verse 16 tells us, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. See, he was feeding the hogs. He couldn't digest what he was giving the hogs, but he was so hungry, he would have if he could have. But nobody gave him anything. You see, folks, sometimes hard circumstances, hard times, wear off the illusions that we sometimes have when we're young. The allure of this prodigal living was gone. In this sinful place that he had gone to, he found no mercy. He found no compassion. He found no charity in the sinful world that he had willingly gone to. You see, that's what's different in this parable, one of the differences. He willingly put himself here. He left his home and went off in prodigal living. And now he's in a terrible shape. He's homesick. He's hungry. And he's desperate. Sometimes, especially when we're young, we have to go through hard times before we have our eyes open, don't we? That just seems to be the way life is. Sometimes, folks, it's hard to see, it's hard to bear. But those hard times are there for a reason. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now, folks, we need to recognize some things in this statement. Well, just for one, from the young man. He had to swallow his pride, didn't he? It took a lot for him to come face to face with everything he had done and to admit it. So many times people willfully run around in denial, wanting to ignore the circumstances that they created. But he's not doing this. But he had to disregard, he had to recognize how he had disregarded the things he had been taught. How he squandered everything his father had given him, and I believe it was a sizable amount. And all he had to show for it was poverty and shame. He had to overcome to do what he's saying to himself. Remember, he's saying this in his mind. He's going to have to overcome the fear of facing an angry dad, hearing those words, possibly, I told you so. Look at what you did. The condemnation that may be coming that he could be fearful of. But the passage says, when he came to himself. You see, folks, I believe that means when he came to himself, the Lord spoke to him. The Lord touched his heart. Sometimes that happens in the depths of despair. The Lord reaches out and he touches to us. He opens our eyes. When he came to himself, God touched this young man's heart. And he remembered. He remembered what? He remembered his father's generosity. He remembered his father's compassion. He remembered his father's love. And he repented in his heart. He said, "This is what I'm going to do. I will go to him and say, 'Father, I sinned against him.'" And this is what another reason why I say God touched his heart, because look at what the wisdom young man is now showing. "I sinned against heaven and before you." You see, folks, we wrong each other. We do things that aren't right, but when we sin against God in heaven. This young man is saying this here. And this was given to show the Pharisees the same thing. When we sin, it is against our heavenly Father. Yes, we wrong each other, but the sin is against the Lord Almighty. And he's saying this in this statement. And he's saying, "This is what I'm going to do." But folks, he did more than that. You see, we say and do a lot of things in our mind, and we don't follow up and act on them. This young man did. He arose and came to his Father. And you see, that's what we need to do. We need to arise. Folks, never forget. How do we arise and go to the Father? We go on our knees in prayer before him, not just thanking for what he has given us, our physical possessions, but thanking him for his great mercy that he gives us each and every day. The Lord is quick to forgive. You know, the doors to the church are open to everybody that have never confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior. How do we go before the Lord? We talk about being obedient to his word. We confess him as our Lord. We are baptized to wash away our sins. It's clear in the Bible. How many people walking around in this earth think they're going to do it and they never follow up? This young man followed up. You see, there's always room for one more at the table. The Lord's table has a seat with an open invitation to his children. Come home. This young man did. And he arose and came to his father. Verse 20. But when he was still a great way off, what was going through his mind, we don't know. But we read what happened. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now, folks, this ties into the other two proverbs. There is great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. This young man had repented. He didn't deserve his compassion, did he, of the Father? But his Father loved him. You see, folks, we see the progression through these three parables, and I know I'm going very quickly through it, but it started out with 100. And then it went to 10. And now it's just one. It started out mostly focusing on the Jewish people and then going to the unworthy, the Gentile, the pagan people. And each parable, however, is focusing in on the individual. You see, God cares about me and about you. And he knows us. And he loves us. And nothing, folks, can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. You have no sin that is greater than God's grace. You have no sin that is so deep, so dark, that the blood of Christ can't wash it away. And as God's children, we are cleansed in his blood because the Father loves us. You see, this last parable is not about so much the action of the sinner, that is, as it is that compassion and that love of the Father. When we think about how compassionate, how kind, how patient, how long-suffering God is with us, as earthly fathers? Isn't that the example that we need to be showing to our children? Again, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated His love towards us, and then while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, there's not a person here. If you think differently, we need to have a talk. Because there's not a person here that's any better than that prodigal son. We all need God's grace, and we all need God's mercy. And the Bible tells us, it's very clear, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the young man recognized this. He went and confessed his sins before God and his way he had wronged his father. Now, there's not much time left. Let's go through these next passages as we begin to close. And folks, this is directed at the Jewish people, particularly at the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, the older son is the role model for the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, so he called to one of the servants and asked, "What does this thing mean?" And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came," you see, he's not even calling him his brother. That's how hostile he is. "As soon as this son of yours came, who devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." You see, folks, the Pharisees and the Sadducees thought they deserved God's recognition, deserved God's reward because of their works. But we know better. It's by grace that we have God's mercy, not by our works. Yes, they were obedient in keeping the law, and they based their relationship with the Lord on their abilities and the performances that they lived out through their life. But as Jesus said, their heart was far from Him. Their attitudes were awful. They didn't understand grace, and they had no room in their hearts for forgiveness. That's the way the older brother was acting. And folks, as dads, we need to stop and think for a minute. What type of an example are we giving? Are we like the loving, compassionate Father who in this parable is God the Father? Are we like the Pharisees who are harsh and condemning every time somebody makes a mistake? There are dads out there like that. Most of us were blessed not to live under that. But you know, dads aren't perfect either. We need God's grace to fulfill our roles and responsibilities. As fathers and grandfathers, as Christian men, we need to continually be in prayer to be able to shoulder the responsibility of being a dad. And pray God lead us so that we can. We need loving, supporting wives to help us to do this too. And we need to ever be thankful that God has given us the privilege to be called a dad, to have the blessing of children in our lives. But we need to forever be mindful of the example we are giving to our children. I pray that we will be the compassionate father like in this parable, and not the Pharisees who are harsh and give confusing, hard-to-follow examples, like the dad that's on the golf course when the rest of the family is in church. I pray that we are spiritual leaders, because, folks, other people are watching. Most importantly, our children are watching. So as we close, I want to share a poem with you. It's always been special to me. Some of you, as we read through this, you might think about your dad. I do. You might have a little one that will look at you, no matter how old you are, and share these, think these words too. "Walk a little plainer, Daddy," said the little boy so frail. "I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain, sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Sometimes when I'm grown up, or someday when I'm grown up, you are like I want to be. Then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you." The example we set, our children see. As we close, I want to say to dads, no matter the strength, no matter your prosperity, no matter what societal characteristics you may have, there is no greater strength that you can show to your children than a loving heart. 1 Corinthians 13. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." If we are to be the proper grandparents, parents that we are supposed to be, we need to remember this verse and let it guide our conduct in this life. All we have to do is look to our Heavenly Father and recognize how gracious He is, how He fills our needs, and how His mercies are new each and every day. Thank the Lord for His amazing grace. Thank you for the relationship that you have as an individual with our Heavenly Father above. Because, folks, He knew you before you were ever born, and His love for His children is everlasting. Happy Father's Day.